morning, folks. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific day. And you had a fantastic weekend. Hope you stayed safe, strong, healthy. Continue to stay updated on all the world news that we have at thebrowershow.com. Bringing you guys every single day the latest articles, updates, and podcasts on the Brower Show. So be sure to check that out every day and sign up for the updates so you can get specials, emails, coupons, discounts, and all types of other fun stuff we have, including updates on the Ultimate Multiple Capsules product of the week. You guys voted and they won. You guys saw that earlier last week.
Well, I wonder who would win between the Ultimate Multiple Powder or the capsules. Have you ever done that?
Well, I've never done them. I did do it one time. I did do it for you guys. I did Ultimate Multiple Powder, the capsules, and chewable. Had all of them up for vote.
Who won?
The powder.
I love the powder.
But the capsules were right behind it.
Capsules are great.
Yeah. The thing that's nice about the capsules is it's a little bit easier to travel with if you don't want to bring any powder and you throw them in a Ziploc bag. Because a lot of times I'll do that on a trip. So I'm going to be gone for like a day or two. I'll just have like two Ziplocs, one for each day. That way I don't have to bring any cans, any powder. Because if they blow up it in your suitcase, that's a mess.
One time I remember I was flying and I had to go to over a few clouds.
Yeah.
In the 210. It's not pressurized. And you can go pretty high for a minute. You can't get back down so you can breathe air.
Yeah.
And I remember I had some iodine in in German, you call it Gepucka Boy, the travel case.
Yeah.
And you put your shaving stuff on. That thing exploded in my travel case.
Did it really?
Oh, yeah.
Exploded. Was it glass?
It was plastic.
Plastic?
It blew the lid off, blew everything. The whole thing's covered in iodine, stained it.
Iodine stains everything, too.
But you know, denatured alcohol, rubbing alcohol took it out.
Did it clean it out?
But I couldn't believe it because, I mean, it's just, how did I get on that?
Stuff exploded in your bag?
So that no, he was talking about taking this stuff on the but I have a liquid in your bag.
Yeah, or having powder in your bag that blows up with a Ziploc, which is not pressurized. But, yeah, so lots of cool stuff going on, as always. And one thing that I saw here, this is interesting. It says it's tying back in the FDA and kind of how you have these subsets and these compartmentalized groups, the FDA. And I didn't know this. It says top FDA official overruled the FDA reviewers three times on COVID shots now. So what happened was Dr. Vinny Prasad, who nobody really hears about, heads the FDA Center for Biological Evaluation and Research. And apparently, he possesses the authority to override the reviewers in the FDA on certain drugs and vaccines that can get approved. And apparently, he's done this three times now.
So he's approving stuff that they don't approve.
Right.
We were wondering how they approved.
So you have top vaccine officials overruled agency reviewers three times now in decisions involving the COVID vaccines, including the recent Moderna shot to young children. Dr. Vinay Prasad, agency's chief medical officer and head of its Center for Biological Evaluation Research, said on July 9th, made public by the FDA, that his analysis of Moderna's Spikevax reached a conclusion different from the agency's reviewers. He said the review team has done a commendable job in summarizing and analyzing the submission to date. Nevertheless, I feel differently about certain aspects of their conclusion and instead reached a conclusion below. He said there is sufficient evidence to approve Spikevax for children at least 6 months and old who have one or more conditions the government says put them at high risk. There's not substantial certainty of a net clinical benefit. Benefits outweigh harm to vaccinating healthy children, but it certainly exists for children with risk factors. It's not clear whether the FDA reviewers align completely with Moderna either. So I'll put that out there because this is some of the problems that we have in some of these agencies where you get these groups that, A, they're appointed, they're not elected, and so they start coming in and kind of pushing their own agenda. And once they reach, I guess, a level of hierarchy in that agency where they've got the autonomy to do whatever they want, they just come in and start, well, I don't agree with all the reviewers. They said Moderna shot shouldn't be approved. I have a different conclusion. I say it should get approved and just oversteps everything. You know, we're seeing down here now in Florida, this some of our Florida legislators have completely gone off the rocker as far as giving law enforcement insanely too much autonomy now with this new super speeder law.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
You've seen this now. And I mean, again, I'm not condoning speeding. But what they did was they came in and said, okay, by the way, if you're doing 100 on the interstate and a 70, it's not up to the discretion of the officer. They have to take you to jail and impound your vehicle and fine you and all this stuff. And now what's happened is on the news, it's like every single day, they're almost bragging about it now with these different pages that Florida FHP and stuff run. They're bragging about how they arrested somebody doing 102 and a 70. And again, I'm not condoning going that fast in the interstate. I'm not saying that it's a good idea. I'm not saying it's even safe. All I'm saying is this. They've now got this financially incentivized interest to start arresting anyone because, A, they get a massive fine. They have bond charges. They have impound fees. They have all these other things now.
Tow fees.
They're charging, right, tow fees that they're now accruing on these charges. And now they're saying that this old school, which was just a misdemeanor, 30 over at any point, they're now saying that that is essentially a criminal misdemeanor and the officer has to arrest at this point. So now you've got these officers that are running around now that I'm watching on social media and they're bragging about how many arrests they are doing and FHP's bragging about how many arrests they're doing. And again, don't speed. I'm not condoning it. But the thing that my whole point in getting this whole little side note, nobody voted on this. This wasn't an amendment. This was legislators in Florida Congress that got this approved through I don't know how, very quietly in its own little bill that passed it essentially in the middle of the night, put it into law, and nobody ever voted on it. So that's some of the issues you run into now. And, so just something to cover that.
Well, no, you think about it. You're driving in the back road somewhere in the middle of nowhere. I had this happen to me last year in North Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm driving, and the speed limit is like, 65 on a back road.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I go over a hill.
And it drops to 55 or 45.
It drops to 55.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, 35.
Yeah.
It dropped 30 miles an hour. And I'm over the hill. Well, there's a guy sitting at the bottom of the hill. Had a very nice police precinct, by the way. It was a big speed trap. I came over the hill at 65. Snap. I think he got me for doing 27, 28 miles an hour over the speed limit.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, now, in Florida, if that had been a couple miles an hour over, even on a speed trap, they'd impounded my vehicle and arrested me.
Yeah.
Now, think about that for a second. So I get caught in a speed trap, and suddenly, and I can understand that if you're in a school zone, right, and it's speed limit's 25 miles an hour, and you're doing 60 in there.
Yeah.
All right, let's pull you over. Let's impound the vehicle. Yeah. Now, I'm going to say this. Only during school days. Okay, if the flashing red light's still there and it's a weekend and you zip through there by accident and there's
around.
Nobody running around, okay, then you don't need to be impounded and sent to jail. It's ludicrous. It's like the other day. This happened to me. I'm driving down 559, and here comes a school bus. Okay, he's driving like 55 miles an hour. He starts to slow down. And I realize that I either have to slam on my brake or just go through it. So he waits till I get right to his nose. And he stops, doesn't even put a sign on. I'm right there. I ease beside him. Boom. He flashed me with his camera.
Oh, yeah, because, by the way, they have cameras now in Florida, too, on the camera.
No, and so I'm like, okay, well, he didn't take a picture. He was, he let me go by. No, I got a $250 fine. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Now, I could have stocked the – here's the problem. When you slam on your brake in a 55-mile-an-hour zone,
yeah,
okay, you better be careful on who's behind you.
That's exactly right.
Because you're going to get rear-ended. And so it creates a real problem when you give these guys like the school bus drivers the ability to basically give you a ticket, which is what he did.
Yeah.
And I paid the ticket. I was like, whatever. I'll be more careful. I'll slow down. I mean, I was going to speed limit anyhow. But the problem is that when you give a police officer who had a bad day – Let's say you're driving a Corvette. Let's say a Corvette. Everybody loves Corvettes. American muscle. And all of a sudden, you're zipping around. All of a sudden, you're 31 miles an hour over the speed limit. you know, in a 45-mile-an-hour zone.
You better get your 20 over, and then it drops to 45.
Well, like or whatever, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you have not been drinking. You're just going home, and there's nobody on the road but you. You're by yourself out there. Or even better yet, you're over there by the school, you know, that big four-lane highway.
Yeah, with nothing out there.
And it's you know, it's 50 miles an hour or wherever in some of those areas, 45, and you go through there 75 in the middle of that. Nobody around, big four-lane highway, and boom. We're impounding your vehicle. You're under arrest. You're going to jail for 30 days. You're going to jail for 30 days. Well, you were 31 miles an hour over the speed limit. I'm like, okay, I was speeding. I acknowledge that. But is this really an arrestable offense?
Exactly.
Did I really
right.
do this?
Who's the victim?
Yeah, where's the victim here? There's nobody else out here but me.
Well, then, and the issue you have now, too, is that a lot of these places now, they start arbitrarily changing the speed limits in certain districts, in certain areas. Like, we have that Polk Parkway. It's a toll road, which everything seems to be turning to a toll road in Florida now, which is interesting as well. That's a whole nother topic. Private organizations that don't let anybody invest except themselves. And so now they change the parkway. It used to be 70 miles an hour. They arbitrarily change the speed limit to 65 now to drop that gap. So now they can start issuing more citations, and FHP will be out there on a weekend basis, and they'll have speed traps going. And now everybody that used to run 70 for last, I don't know, 20 years on the parkway, now you get that 5-mile-an-hour change. If you're doing 25 over in a 70, now all of a sudden 95 is 30 over. That fast.
Well, and the sad part about it is nobody voted for this.
No.
The congressional leaders up in the Tallahassee voted for it. It wasn't on a ballot.
No.
You know, and the thing about it is I can see it. Let's say you're driving a Corvette and you're running 100 miles an hour over the speed limit, which they'll do that, by the way. Okay, you got to be on a track somewhere.
Yeah, you're driving.
Okay,
way too
that's
fast.
Just nuts. Okay, if they want to arrest you, take you in, or whatever, if you were endangering people, I got it. I do. I understand that, but not in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, on a speed drop, in a change. No. By the way, I'm going to read to this. This is an interesting article, and I read it this weekend. I wanted to cover it. Langley to Lassane, how the U.S. intelligence engineered a globalist Christianity.
That's interesting.
This is a good story. I posted this so you guys can read it. And it says the CIA has infiltrated the American evangelical industrial complex embedded in our churches and taken over our missions. And you think, well, wait a minute. How in the world has the CIA infiltrated the American, basically, industrial complex? How has this happened? You know, I mean, why in the world is this happening, and how have they done this? Now, it's no longer a question whether the CIA has influenced the American church. The real questions are how deeply, how early, and how much damage they've done. While most Christians were wringing their hands over communists under the bed, the actual subversion was standing behind the pulpit, wearing a tie, rehearsing a script he didn't even know had been written by a spook. The American sanctuary has become a crime scene, and the fingerprints on the torch that set it ablaze match Langley. This is not satire. It is not wild speculation. It is not what if. This is documented history hiding in plain sight, and it doesn't start in the Vatican archives or smoky Masonic lodge. It starts in post-war Washington, which, by the way, are being controlled by smoky Masonic lodges, where well-fed men in tailored suits realized they needed something stronger than bombs or ballast to win the world. They needed belief. They needed God. They needed him to carry a flag, salute the Pentagon, and keep quiet during the election season. Mockingbird sings Hallelujah. This is Operation a Mockingbird. In the 50s, the CIA launched Operation Mockingbird, a full-spectrum information warfare designed to control every major American media channel. Anchormen, novelists, magazine editors, journalists, and even screenwriters were on the payroll. More than 400 of them were quietly assisting intelligence operations by shaping public opinion, and yet we were told to believe that one sector they left untouched was the pulpit. Not true. The CIA didn't just approve of religion, it saw its potential, and it moved quickly to exploit it. Remember, the CIA is a satanic organization at the highest levels. They used to have witches on payroll. Just thought I'd mention that. In a Cold War where communism was proudly godless, the United States needed a spiritual identity. American freedom had to be baptized. National loyalty needed to be a theological halo, so the suits went to work. They funded clergy conferences, subsidized missionary networks, finance seminary departments and underwrote Bible publication projects. They didn't need to rewrite the creeds. They only needed to bend the tone. They wanted a Christ who was polite, a Jesus who loved democracy, hated confrontation, and believed in well-regulated free markets. Now, what else they did? They passed this pervert named Lyndon B. Johnson, which many say was involved with the assassination of John F. Kennedy. He was a weirdo. I mean, he used to do all kinds of perverted stuff in meetings. I'm not going to even go into it before. I've talked about it before. He was sick. He got mad because in the 50s, the pulpits started calling him out, saying that he was a perverted dude that didn't need to be in Congress, right? And basically, he said, okay, we're going to change this. We had them pass the Johnson Amendment, Austin. This is what made 501(c) corporations regulated by the government rather than not regulated by the government. And if you said anything to the parishioners that were there about something that was going on in the pulpit or with this particular pastor or anybody else, and it wasn't what the government wanted from the CIA Mockingbird infusion, they would basically take your 501(c) standing away and you would no longer be allowed to be nonprofit. That's how they did this. So they learned to control the pulpit. Now, this doesn't go into detail with this, but this is what happened. And it says, Billy Graham, the golden-haired godsend. Now, I know a lot of you love Billy Graham, but I will say one thing to you. At the Bible Museum in D.C., there's only one evangelical person who is even there that's a Christian, and it was Billy Graham. All the rest of it is about the Babylonian Talmud. Just thought I'd mention that to you. Enter Billy Graham. With movie star looks, southern star charm, and global reach, he became the unofficial pastor of the American empire. But why him? What made him, among all the evangelists in post-war America, the chosen vessel of mainstream respectability? He was safe. Billy didn't thunder against the military-industrial complex. He didn't speak out against the CIA war crimes or American corporate overreach from the pulpit. His message was stripped of prophetic fire and filled instead with patriotic polish. He preached conversion, but never repentance from systemic evil. This is the format many of them use. I'm going to cover that in just a second. He offered hope but not confrontation. He made Christianity like a suit, an easy-to-be-digested and televised format. It is no accident Billy Graham had access to the inner circles of nearly every American president from Truman to Bush. What should raise more eyebrows is that in 1982, when Soviet believers were still worshiping in secret and being tortured in labor camps, Billy was preaching freely in Moscow. How is that possible? Well, they're being tortured in gulags. With full communist approval, he praised Soviet religious freedoms, shook hands with the regime, and declared the visit a success. Underground pastors saw his betrayal. Dissidents were furious, but Billy was doing exactly what Langley wanted. He was presenting American religion as a political, optimistic, and friendly to power. To be clear, Billy Graham was not a CIA agent. He didn't have to be. He was something more valuable. He was a prototype. He showed the ruling class what kind of Christianity they could tolerate. He showed the deep state how to make Jesus sound like a suburban general with votes and smiles and doesn't raise his voice. When Billy was preaching revivals, Harold Okeka was building the theological infrastructure. Okeka, architect of the Fuller Theological Seminary, was determined to craft a Christianity that is scholarly, winsome, and compatible with the Cold War politics. He wanted evangelicalism to be respectable in elite circles and be useful to the American project abroad. Guess who paid for it? Fuller's early foundation funding came from the Rockefeller Foundation, which is basically the Rothschild Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Lilly Endowment. These same groups were simultaneously funneling money into CIA cutouts and foreign regime change programs. They did not invest in Fuller because they loved the gospel. They funded Fuller because they understood its value as a tool of soft power. Fuller was not a seminary in the traditional sense. It was a religious think tank dressed in evangelical garb. Its theology was gently filtered through the globalist priorities. It steered students away from cultural confrontation and towards psychological accommodation. It helped rebrand Christianity as a therapeutic, non-threatening force in society. Now, I'm going to stop here for 1 second. Some people say that that is not the truth about Fuller. In fact, I had a Fuller graduate that I sent this to that I did not know was a Fuller graduate, Austin, and he disagreed with part of this information. So I'm going to put that out there, too. But now I also will say one thing about Billy Graham. Billy Graham was interesting. Now, a lot of people say, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I probably suspect it to be true, that he was a high-level Mason. As in many Baptist churches, the pastors are high-level Masons. Just thought I'd mention that, too. It's a real problem they've got in the Baptist churches. So we have a situation here where we have a man who's being put on major TV at night, all the way through the 80s and the 90s, spoke to every major president, and who basically was promoting this type of Christianity, this sanitized version of Christianity, with no repentance and no change. Now, this has given us the rise of the Christianity we have today, in which nobody confesses their sins, nobody asks God to forgive them. These sins are not addressed from the pulpit. Years ago, I was asked to speak at a mega church. I'd spoken at this church many, many times. I'm not going to mention the area it was in because it's not necessary. But I remember I started talking about what the Bible had to say about homosexuality. And the pastors on the front row waving at me saying, no, 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 stop. And I stopped out of respect for him. And then he told me afterwards, we don't address that in our church. And I'm like, why not? Well, we don't talk about it because it's, you know, politically incorrect. We have to accept people from everywhere and every sex relationship. Well, the reason is a lot of these people were taken to church, but the church never addressed it from the pulpit. They never heard it preached from the pulpit. So now they think it's okay because no one ever addressed it. Or they take scripture and they twist it and they make it say something it doesn't say. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, that's a pretty interesting story in the Old Testament. It's not real hard to try to figure out what that meaning was behind that story. God doesn't like that kind of stuff. And so we need to understand that, but they want to twist it and make it okay, and it's not okay. And I could pick out another sinner, another sinner, another sinner. There's so many now, they're just being accepted from the pulpit. It's not okay. And I'm not sitting here, because I have absolutely zero halo to adjust, nothing. No halo whatever. But the point is that when you see things like this that is directly affecting the population of the United States and directly affecting what's going on as far as the United States, as far as what we believe and what we don't believe, you start to realize that this shadow of communism has crept its way all the way into the churches. In fact, there's another article that says the long shadow of communist indoctrination. It said in the mid-20th century, schools in communist countries were tools of the state. History lessons became basically the history of the Soviet Union, math example drawn from military projection, every literature bowed to the Marxist dogma. But where did it all live through it? Two new studies, one from Finland and from Poland, suggest the answer: indoctrinational works. A tale of two experiments. And now they're talking about how the Communist Party got into the school system and basically changed the school system to promote Marxism. That's exactly what they've done in our school system in the United States through the Frankfurt School, and exactly what they've done with the CIA working through the churches. That's why we have this watered-down Christianity, and you have the name-it, claim-it, blab-it, grab-it nonsense that's out there right now. And so you see all of this stuff happening, you start to realize these guys only are preaching Christianity for material gain. They've got four or five mansions. They've got four or five jets. They've got one person of 25 mansions. You think to yourself, why is that necessary to have 25 mansions at their homes? I mean, it's difficult to maintain a small house nowadays with the cost. But when you're getting all that money coming in because of the 501(c)(3) corporation, because you're dancing to the drum of the right beat of the CIA, and they leave you alone with the 501(c)(3) corporation, and you don't have to pay taxes on a parsonage, suddenly you have the ability to buy all of this stuff with tax-free money that's being given to you. This is a real problem. It really, really is. And I don't like the fact that this has infiltrated Christianity and infiltrated Christian schools and infiltrated our very life. They said they would take the United States over. Khrushchev said this without ever firing a shot through cultural Marxism. And that's exactly what they've done now. That's why these think tanks everywhere are all about promoting cultural Marxism and all the rest. And the sad part about all of this stuff, when you sit here and you look at it, you go, you know, this is just crazy that we have a situation in which we have people all over the world that are looking to the United States for leadership, and we're not leading anymore. We're not playing leadership anymore in the United States. We're playing follow the follower based upon what the Kabbalist, Luciferian synagogue of Satan wants us to do as far as marching to the beat of their drummer, Lucifer. That's what this is. And we're watching it, and we realize at this point, if we don't change what we're doing here as a nation, we will cease to be a nation. And for those of you who have children, and you're protecting your kids, and you're making sure they're not indoctrinated like this, and you're making sure they understand that there's a relationship between a man and a woman that God ordained, and then that needs to be promoted to them. I commend you for that. Those of you who were homeschooling and avoided the indoctrination from the school systems, I commend you for that. But we need to realize that if we don't do what we need to do right now, the United States, as we have known it as a God-fearing nation, is probably completely gone at this point. And there's nothing we can do, but we have pockets of people that'll still stand with the Word of God. And that's why it's so important. That's what we promote on this show all the time. I mean, I was at the pulpit yesterday. Not that I have, you know, a halo, like I mentioned earlier, and I was in the pulpit, I was preaching. I wasn't preaching, I was reading scripture yesterday, if you want to watch it. But the reality is that I was also praying at the altar during communion for you guys. And I want you to know, I love you and I appreciate you. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as I'm on this podcast, we're going to preach Jesus every single time. We're going to always talk about Christ and what we need to do from a Christian standpoint. Not that I'm perfect, but the reality is I can read. I actually read very fast, and I really remember most of what I read. And so the reality is that I want to be the person that's out there promoting what God has done for you, what Jesus did for you, and what Christianity is supposed to be all the days of my life. What do you think, Austin? What's your next story?
Oh, that was really well said. And you're right about it, as far as a lot of this younger generation. And two, now there are other factors there too, because I've watched this firsthand with a lot of this generation, my, you know, millennial.
Jesus, Jesus Christ wasn't a little wimpy boy. He wasn't that. He picked up a whip and drove the doggone money changers out of the temple. You've got to realize that these guys are going to lie and lie, and when they get done lying, they're going to lie some more. And we have to stand with what the Word of God says all the days of our lives. Austin, what do you think, my friend?
You're 100% accurate. It's like I was just reading here on the joint venture with Lockheed Martin and Raytheon. Raytheon and Lockheed are the two manufacturers that came together to produce the Javelin missile system. The reason why I brought that up is because Yemen, by the way, doesn't have manufacturing facilities for Javelin missiles. They're all made in the United States. And so when you start hearing about Yemen getting Javelins, which basically are a shoulder-fired anti-armor system, they're very intriguing if you ever looked at them, because it's a laser-guided missile system that's shoulder-fired that has a soft launch. So it shoots out of the tube and then basically launches, and it's laser-guided. So it allows the infantry individual to go in and basically launch the rocket and then turn around and get cover without having to sit there and stand there and try to basically, you know, focus on a system. It's laser guided. It's an incredible platform. There's a reason why Lockheed Martin and Raytheon started massive production on these in the middle of 2022, because they got the contract start sending to Ukraine. There's a reason why Yemen has these missile systems. They're not there by accident. So always remember that when you hear these things happening, very few things you hear anymore are accident, and always ask questions. Who is it benefiting and who's behind it? Because, you know, it started looking, like I told you guys earlier, who's the top shareholders of Lockheed? And I read you guys that. The same thing goes back to Purdue Pharma, what Dad was just talking about. When there was a drop in opioid usage, when Afghanistan was trying to spool it back up through the heroin trade, they brought in OxyContin. OxyContin was produced by Purdue Pharmacy, which also had BlackRock attached to them back then in a smaller form. They told everybody that OxyContin was not addictive at all, even though it was a controlled release opioid. 80 milligrams was the highest dosing they had of a controlled release opioid that lasted up to 8 hours, in comparison to something like a Percocet that basically lasts for 2 or 3 hours maximum in a lower dosage. These allowed an individual to take an opioid and have it sustained release in their system throughout the entire day. They were insanely addictive. And Purdue Pharma told them they weren't addictive at all because the way they were manufactured prevented it. It started an opioid crisis that was among one of the worst we've ever seen, all the way back from the 70s from heroin. Well, what happened was when Purdue got in trouble and the opioid crisis came to light, they restricted the amount of OxyContin that hit the street. Then what happened? Afghanistan went into full-spool opioid production. Now, like Dad said, now we got fentanyl coming out of China. So not necessary to be growing poppy anymore. Opioids or heroin have always been one of the most effective drugs known to man at controlling a populace and keeping people dumbed down and subservient. Because what happens is once people get addicted on these things enough, they don't really care about anything other than getting their next opioid hit.
They really don't. They lose motivation. They lose drive. They lose everything because they get so addicted to them. Can they be very effective like morphine if you get in a serious car wreck and you're hemorrhaging, you have a broken bone? Absolutely. It's an effective tool. But they have to be used very, very carefully and very specifically. And that is why the U.S. government, through the CIA, has so actively pursued getting these drugs on the market and making sure that they stay out there to keep people dumbed down and subservient. Also, too, in other news, I told you guys yesterday, this polar plunge that's essentially coming towards the Northeast right now. I was looking earlier on some of the stuff that's happening right now. There's an extreme cold hit that's basically coming in the United States, and definitely want to give everybody a continual heads up on that. I was looking at some of the footage of it, and they're saying in some of these places it's going to drop 78
people in this country. And what's wild about this, it says age is a factor, especially due to natural loss of muscle. However, inflammation plays a central role. Remember, I talked to you guys about this last week. We talked about how inflammation is one of the key primary causes of all diseases. It says chronic low-grade inflammation continues its degenerative cycle, demonstrating how the aging process converges to promote muscle skeletal decline. Inflammation is often the root of most chronic health problems, which triggers such as poor diet, stress, environmental factors. Inflammation can become chronic, leading to ongoing symptoms and multiple diagnoses. And so what's interesting about this is most of this stuff is never addressed on the root cause. People take like an ibuprofen, an anti-inflammatory. People take another drug because they're having some issue with their bones, but they're never addressing what's going on. It says the first right here, vitamin D, essential for bone strength, with low levels strictly linked to osteoporosis, aimed to get calcium into the body. Remember, you have to take D3 with K2 to make sure the D3 is put in the right areas. Protein, important for preserving muscle tissue, especially in older adults who don't eat enough. Good source of protein, clean lean meats, eggs, and also different types of omega-3 fats are important as well. Beneficial for joint health due to their anti-inflammatory properties. Omega-3 fats are absolutely crucial. Magnesium and vitamin K and phosphorus support bone and muscle function, help maintain structural integrity. And also females, we have the Osomag formula, which has a MCHC calcium, microcrystalline hydroxy concentrate, amazing calcium with magnesium and phosphorus in that formula. It says also, too, reducing a huge salt and sugar intake can help prevent calcium loss and support better bone density. Remember, sugar is extremely inflammatory to the body. There's people that I've talked to that have had real bad sugar addictions, and when they got off sugar, their joints felt better, their digestion worked better, their skin was healthier, their overall well-being felt better because sugar is so inflammatory. That's why, I mean, even I've done before where, you know, you eat like a bunch of ice cream one day, and you'll notice the next day you just don't feel that good. That's why I try to avoid it. In some cases, it's not try to eat it very often. And so lifestyle changes are extremely crucial to maintain this with proper nutrients like that, and also staying away from inflammatory foods. It's the nightshade family, right? As far as the what is it? I'm top of my head.
Nice
artichokes.
I don't know about artichokes. I don't think so.
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes are
eggplants.
Yes.
Eggplants. That's what it is. Okay.
Bell peppers. Yep.
Bell peppers. If you're having inflammatory issues, make sure you're cutting those out of your diet because those are extremely inflammatory, and also staying away from the sugary drinks, sodas. All those things need to be avoided, and making sure you're taking proper amounts of magnesium. And the one thing we've talked about, and I had my brother just write an article on it, GHI cleanse.
I just took it.
That product cuts inflammation down so significantly, it's incredible. And it's such an easy product to use. So easy.
Yeah,
make a shake out of it.
I take it every day.
Every day. Magnesium brain food with the GHI cleanse, those two together will really cut out inflammation if you change your diet as well.
We had a girl working for us for years. Her name was Danielle, and she had a real bad problem with lupus. I won't mention her last name. She was basically a nanny for us. And she had real bad lupus. She's in her 20s. I mean, she was having some serious health problems. And she basically was staying with us, you know, 12 hours a day. You know, we were traveling or doing other seminars, et cetera, taking care of the younger kids. And I remember she'd been here about 6-8 weeks. And finally she looked at me and she goes, my lupus is gone.
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean? I said, I didn't know she had lupus. She goes, well, I was taking medication, and I don't have lupus anymore. I don't have any pain. This is crazy. And I said, well, I'm not claiming that dietary changes will get rid of lupus, but it sure seemed to help hers. And so the crazy part about all of this stuff is how many of these different type of mucoskeletal problems that people have that basically are being caused because of dietary change.
Yeah.
I was on an airplane one time, and I've mentioned this before, so I won't go into detail. And there was this lady who was sitting basically at the bulkhead seat, and she was on full disability.
Yeah.
And it's just a long story. She's extreme liberal. And I was flying back from Dallas, and I remember I started asking her questions, and she said she had severe rheumatoid arthritis in which she could not basically function. It was debilitatingly painful. And that's from a lot of times because of eggplant, bell peppers, you know, tomatoes.
And all the processed foods now, too, the seed oils.
Mm-hmm. And so I started giving her some suggestions, and she goes, well, I'm not going to change my diet. I'm like, but you've got rheumatoid arthritis. She goes, no, I don't care. I get disability for that. I don't want to get rid of my rheumatoid arthritis. Yeah. And I looked at her. I said, you deal with all that joint pain. And I've had so many people just cutting out white potatoes and bell peppers and tomatoes and eggplant. They cut those nightshade variety of vegetables out, and suddenly they don't have joint pain anymore.
Yep.
Now suddenly they feel great. And you're kind of like, well, this is interesting. But if you take certain types of compounds and you really increase the amount of poison you're putting into your body, or if your body's allergic to these types of things, you're going to have issues with them. And that happens all the time. But back to cameras. I'm going to talk about Coldplay Gate.
Oh, gosh. That got more coverage than it needed.
It did. This guy's having an affair on his wife. They're at a Coldplay concert, and they basically put the camera on him and his mistress. And the guy mentions, oh, look how happy they are. And he zooms in on them. And it's like, and the girl.
And it's exciting.
The girl sees that she's on the camera. And they both just disappear.
She flips around. He died. You know the funny part about it, though?
That's cameras.
The other day. I said, if they would have flipped the camera on them and they would have just sat there and chilled out for a minute and not acted so crazy, nobody ever would have seen the video. Nobody would have seen the video. They acted so spastic.
It was crazy. Oh, by the way, people now in the Trump administration are saying that Netanyahu is a madman. Trump team frets about Netanyahu after he strikes Syria again. As smoke and debris swirled over the Syrian presidential palace, chatter in the West Wing grew louder. Benjamin Netanyahu is out of control. There's a reason he's out of control. He has the full power of the United States military behind him, and he's a giant bully in the Middle East.
They just shelled a Catholic church on Sunday with basically tank rounds. Yeah, shelled a Catholic church, by the way.
The only Catholic church left in Gaza.
And then they said, whoops. And my question was this. Why are you still running tanks? They've already air raided majority of Gaza. Why do you have ground troops with tanks?
Because the Catholic Church wasn't destroyed yet.
There's nothing left in Gaza. The one standing church, we accidentally shelled it with high velocity armored tank rounds. Whoopsie. Well, sorry, guys.
Here's what it said.
Like, really?
Hey, it said, Benjamin Netanyahu is out of control. What they're saying is, Bibi acts like a madman. He bombs everything all of the time, one White House official told Axios, referring to Netanyahu by his nickname. This could undermine what Trump is trying to do. Well, what does Trump try to support Bibi? The second senior U.S. official also called out to the shelling of a church in Gaza this week. You just mentioned that, which led President Trump to call Netanyahu and demand an explanation. The feeling is that every day there's something new. The third U.S. official said that growing skepticism inside the Trump administration about Netanyahu, a sense that his trigger finger is too itchy and he's too disruptive. Netanyahu is sometimes like a child who just won't behave. That's a good analogy. Benjamin pitched a little fit. He's got his lollipop, so he took it away. Netanyahu spokesperson Ziv Agban did not respond for a request. He didn't know what to say. Why it matters. six U.S. officials tell us Axios, despite a U.S. brokered ceasefire that halted this week's escalation in Syria on Friday, this week ended with the White House significantly more alarmed about Netanyahu and his regional policies. However, Trump has so far refrained from public criticism.
Yep.
It's unclear
yep.
if he shares his advisors' frustrations. It is not totally clear whether he shares his advisors' recent concerns about Israel's actions and shelling of Syria. Driving the news, on Tuesday, Israel bombed a convoy of Syrian army tanks en route to the city of Sawad to respond to violent clashes between a Druze military and armed tribesmen, which killed over 700 people as of Saturday, according to the Syrian
Observatory. Which had nothing to do with Israel. Like,
nope.
I understand some people got their little high horse kicked. They want to support everything. But at some point, at what point do you go, okay, we should probably get these guys to stop bombing everyone? It really is just a problem. And the thing about it is, the reason why he does it is because there's no repercussions. As soon as he does it, we go, oh, by the way, we're criticizing. He bombed the church, but it was a $10 billion foreign aid policy again. Here you go. You guys got $10 billion.
They've killed 200,000 people minimum now in Gaza. So we've got to
get more foreign aid to them.
And it's not just Muslims. They've killed almost all the Christians in Gaza. And now they're bombing the Catholic Church. There was a reason they did this. This wasn't by accident.
By the way, the Catholic Church was one of the last standing areas in that area. There was a refugee for children and also disabled individuals who had already been injured. That was like one of the last standing refugees. And so they shelled it with tanks.
Oh, by the way, the DOJ Anti-Semitism Task Force had your special message. Trump has your back to Israel and pledged to end campus hatred. Wait a minute. The Department of Justice Task Force head Leo Terrell delivered a direct message to Jewish students across America on Sunday, promising that despite how many people they are killing in Gaza and despite how many people they are killing in Syria, I'm adding that, President Trump has your back, vowing to eliminate anti-Semitism from schools and universities as his administration takes aggressive stance against campus harassment targeting Jewish students. Wait a minute. President Trump has your back, Terrell declared in a social media post. President Trump is going to make sure that when you attend either at the K-12 level or any college, K-12 level, do you hear that?
Yeah.
In these elementary schools. And basically, any college or university is going to make sure anti-Semitism does not exist. In other words, you can't talk about what they're doing in Gaza or Syria. Wait a minute. What happened to our First Amendment here?
Well, Tucker Carlson said it so succinctly the other day on that interview that he did. Mm-hmm. He said, criticizing a country for their behavior, what they're doing, if it's wrong, has nothing to do with being anti-this or anti-that or anti-Semitic. If you don't have the right to criticize something that you don't agree with, what's the First Amendment if it suddenly is protected because of certain individuals involved with it? It doesn't make any sense.
The task force chief concluded his message by promising that Jewish students, what about Christian students in Gaza?
What about Christian students in America?
What about Christian students in Syria? How about Christian students anywhere? The Jewish students, not anybody else but Jewish students, will be able to enjoy the freedoms and liberties of this great country by invoking the blessings for America, President Trump, and Jewish students. The federal task force has already announced visits to 10 university campuses that have experienced anti-Semitic incidents since October 2023, marking a significant federal intervention of campus affairs. This represents a major escalation in federal oversight of universities regarding anti-Semitism complaints. The backdrop for Terrell's message includes ongoing concerns about campus anti-Semitism, with Jewish organizations reporting complex patterns of incidents. While some reports indicate decreases in violent attacks, online harassment and other forms of anti-Semitic behavior continue to affect Jewish students nationwide. Wait a minute. Okay, let me stop here for a second. I just slammed the Christian church. I did, beginning of the show. I said the doggone CIA has infiltrated Christianity. And I made a point. That doesn't make me anti-Christian.
No.
That doesn't make me an anti-Christianite. You know, whatever that's supposed to mean, right? Just made that one up. So, that doesn't make me that. That means that I say there's changes that have to be made. I love Jesus. My heart beats for the great I am. I'm in church every Sunday. You know, I take communion every Sunday. I pray all the time. But I can sit here and criticize people that are in churches that are not doing that, that are compromised. I can do that. I have the right to do that because I live in America. So, but I can't do that with a synagogue or with a Jewish
Catholic church.
But I can do about Muslims. I do about Muslims. I can do that. I can talk about Jehovah's Witness. I can talk about Mormons. I can talk about everybody. I can just hack off the whole planet. Except
the golden calf.
Speaking of that, this topic, this is interesting.
Ridiculous.
Dave, now they played a good hand yesterday to get this topic off. So the Trump's Justice Department now comes out and asks to unseal the Epstein grand jury material.
Censored.
You saw this, right? You saw this last week because everybody was blowing up. And then they come out and go, but we've got a bigger story now. Seditious conspiracy aimed at overthrowing the government in 2016, the presidential election
with Obama.
And okay, first off, we already know they were monitoring Trump. We've known this for, 9-10 years? Nothing's been done about it. All this information, by the way, just be aware of this. Everybody's involved with Clapper, with Comey, with Brennan, with Rice, with Obama. All these guys, we already discussed this almost 10 years ago after the first election when they tried to hack it for Hillary. This isn't new information. This was designed specifically last week to come out and overshadow the inability to release the Epstein files because CIA and Mossad don't want anybody to have a problem in Congress and Senate. They want everybody to keep past their stuff. So they let all of them know we find nobody else to prosecute. There's nobody to prosecute whatsoever. We're not finding anything. Mm-hmm. And so this is why they released that. But the problem is they got so much blowback because they wouldn't tell anybody anything. They said, there is no file. This is a hoax. Trump's own words in his tweets, this is a hoax, the Epstein hoax now. Doesn't exist. Nothing's happening. Oh, you know what? You guys are so bent out of shape. You're so annoying. All my conspiracy theory supporters, we're going to have the grand jury testimony unsealed now. You can see it. But look at what we found now. Obama and Clapper and Comey, they all had seditious conspiracy to overthrow the election. Yeah, we know. You haven't done anything about it in a decade. Newsflash.
You know, they've even got Tulsi Gabbard on file. She goes, Obama directed a treasonous conspiracy against Trump on this week's broadcast of the FNC's Sunday Morning Futures. Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard said that former President Barack Obama directed a treasonous conspiracy against Trump during his first term. Hello, duh. Galbraith said the implications are this, frankly, nothing short of historic. Over 100 documents that were released on Friday to cover up the Epstein files.
That's exactly right.
I'm adding that. Okay, were released on Friday, really detail and provide evidence of how this treasonous conspiracy was directed by President Obama. If just weeks before he was due to leave office after President Trump had already gotten elected. This is not a Democratic Republican issue. This is an issue that is so serious it could concern every American issue. In other words, this is more important than Epstein.
That's exactly right. There you go.
That's what she's saying here. Remember, this is all CIA crap. What we saw occur here as the documents we released detailed is that we had a sitting president of the United States and his cabinet and leadership team. Quite frankly, we were not happy with the fact that President Trump had won the election and the American people had chosen Trump to be the next president over Hillary Clinton. So they decided they would do everything possible to try to undermine his ability to do what the voters asked him to do. Okay, this is old news. Everybody knew this was going on, and this is why we had the whole Russiagate.
Well, that's exactly right, because what happened was you had them pull a doggone Comey signed off on the FISA warrant to start investigating and wiretapping Trump in October 2016. Mm-hmm. Then they did it again, I think, the beginning of 2017. Then they did it again in April 2017. They were spying on everything they were doing. We already discussed this. They talked
10 years,
about it.
10 years ago.
And notice, nobody got prosecuted. Nobody got indicted.
And nobody's going to get prosecuted now.
This was 100%
bait and switch, magician trick, just like they always pull. They had to get everybody off the Epstein case. Even the mainstream media started asking the question, how is this a hoax when you've been talking about it for years now that this is going to get released?
Okay, well, okay, first of all, let's step it back. You know, Sal Alinsky and all the rest of these people that were Obama's mentors, they were all communist people. That was all. Who paid for the communist revolution in Russia? That's where this all came from. That would be the Rothschild banking cartel. And they basically, they're the ones that were pushing and pressing to have Israel formed as a country so they could have a non-extradition state. Plus, they want to rule the world from Israel. You think, oh, yeah, you're kidding. Well, no, this the guy, this Sal Alinsky and all the rest of this stuff rules for radicals. Well, so what happened is Obama's one of their little devotees. So where's getting the money for this? Where's the money coming for this? Nobody's talking about that.
And here's what you got to understand. You got to take a step back. I try to explain this to guys all the time from a psychological warfare standpoint. The CIA monitors algorithms, what people talk about online.
There you go.
Trump started to get so much blowback from all of his entire base. They couldn't let the paradigm shift go too far. Because if people weren't supporting the left,
it would be irretrievable.
And they weren't supporting the right, what were the people going after? The truth. So they didn't want that to happen. So they had to switch it now. Now Trump's the victim. Trump's been spied on through his whole presidency. This seditious conspiracy to throw his first first election.
We'll play the victim card.
They're playing the victim card. So they had to get everybody, all of his base. Oh, you know what? Don't worry about Epstein. Obama tried to overthrow the Trump administration 10 years ago. I'm mad about it, dang it. Let's get mad at Obama. They're not going to do anything to Obama and his training wife.
Jeff Frenz told me 10 years ago, he said that Obama's still running the whole show.
Yeah,
and he was right.
You know,
the crazy part about all of this stuff is that it's all obfuscation.
Exactly what this was.
We've got the 25-ring circus going on. Don't forget, though, in the middle of that circus ring, we've got a poop-throwing monkey.
Yeah. And what happened was
over the Middle East.
Yeah. But the problem was everybody started watching the lion in the middle of the circus. Everybody started going, this Epstein lion, this entire lion hoax, it's not real, but we're watching it. What's going on? We want to know where this lion's coming from. Everybody goes, don't look at the lion. We got another monkey over here to look at.
And so all of a sudden, the poop-throwing monkey starts bombing churches over in Gaza.
There you go.
And the poop-throwing monkey starts bombing Syria. Let's make sure we change the news story right now.
And they did.
And they did.
And they did.
And now all of a sudden, now we've got Obama, which everybody knew this with his male, female wife. Who now, remember, Obama was on TV last week again talking about his marriage to the guy, or to Michelle, or Michael, or whatever the heck his name is. And, you know, now I'm talking about Joan Rivers said this.
I played the video last week.
We played the video. She said, everybody knows that Michelle's a tranny. She's a transgender.
Joan Rivers is extremely pro-gay.
She wasn't saying that, and they officiated
a gay marriage before they interviewed her. Like, she wasn't saying that as a stab. She was saying it as a brag.
Ooh, I like that. Not a stab, but a brag.
That's what it was. Oh, so everybody watched that. Everybody, she wasn't trying to do it. She was super close friends with the Obamas. She was really close with them. So, again, I wanted to bring this up because I've had people send me stuff. Oh, guess what? What's going on now with Obama? I said, dude, if you have that short memory loss and you can't focus on what's actually happening and you allow them to twist the narrative that quick on you, I don't know what to tell you on it. It was so obvious when they did it. I was like, golly.
I've got a marshmallow cotton candy story.
I like marshmallow cotton candy when I was a kid. Didn't eat it much. So it was all sugar.
It's talking about child-free couples now who treat basically their pets like their children.
That happens a lot.
And it says a third of dual-income couples now have decided not to have any children, and they basically have their children as their pets, their dogs, and their cats. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just reading you a cotton candy story. If you want to do all this stuff, knock yourself out. But there's a term for it. It's called anthropomorphism, and its adverse effects on animals. Now, I'm going to just give you one example of how this goes too far. I have a friend of mine that I know, and she had a basically brother who had a dog that had problems with diabetes. Dog's old. It's like 12 years old. And so the guy, her brother, says, can you take care of the dog for me? I can't handle the problems with this dog. We can't travel. We can't do anything. The dog has diabetes. 12-year-old dog. So he gives this dog to her sister. Okay, the dog's name is Lenny. And so they hook him up to a monitor to the Shands Teaching Veterinary Hospital in Gainesville.
Well, I'm sure that was cheap.
Oh, it was over $50,000.
Woo! Woo! Jeez!
And they said, no matter what happens, we're going to have Lenny's going to be okay. Lenny will live! Reminded me of Tiny Tim and the Christmas Carol. Lenny will live! And I'm not picking on Lenny. I mean, I don't want the dog to die either. But the point was, they ended up with $50,000 in basically medical bills. And I remember one time I was visiting them, and she had put out 6 plates of food for Lenny to see which one he would eat because of his diabetes. And I'm thinking to myself, wow.
6 plates.
Different ones, all different. She's cooking all this different food. And it was kind of crazy. And I kind of went there, and I actually took a picture of the plates. And I thought, this is nuts. Well, guess what? Lenny, he's not here anymore. He left the planet.
You know,
the problem is, and the lady said to me, she said, I said $50,000 on this dog. And now the brother can't believe this has happened to him because he's getting the bills.
Oh, gosh.
He's getting the bills on Lenny because it was his dog. And so they just decided to go full tilt because this guy's very wealthy. He goes, I can't believe I got $50,000 on his dog. And what ended up happening, Lenny passed away, you know, like, you know, most dogs that are like 15 years of age.
Well,
with diabetes.
I mean, yeah.
But it was $50,000. And I remember the lady said to me, she goes, I don't care. Remember, this wasn't her money. It was her brother's money. I don't care how much money it costs. I'm keeping this dog alive. And I said, well, that means you'll bankrupt yourself. She goes, I would spend every penny I have, and I would live under a bridge to keep this dog alive. Now, some of you are going to say, yeah, I agree with that. And I'm not picking on you. If you feel that strongly about it, you know, I'm happy for you that you've got that type of attachment to an animal. But let me say something to you. Just maybe you got to realize that dogs and cats and, you know, possums and raccoons, we all have life cycles.
They have short life cycles.
And you know, and the thing about it is, it's like, you know, it's a circle of life. It's just what happens.
Well, I am Diesel, probably one of the best dogs ever had, the best dog I ever had. You know, he was 6, 7, great dog, loved him. He got hit by a vehicle.
I remember that.
Blew his hip out, shattered his hip, took him to the vet. They said they were going to have to amputate the leg to keep him alive. I mean, it shattered. And I said, you know what? I said, as much as I love this dog, I'm not going to put him through this, and not to mention, I'm not going to start spending tens of thousands of dollars
which
on
is
rehab,
what it
which would have
you.
Been. And it was at the end of the day, you know, I held him, they put him down, and it was sad, and it hurt for a while. But at the end of the day, you got to realize animals have a much shorter lifespan than adults do. And at the end of the day, you're going to go through that pain here, now, later, doesn't matter. They're animals at the end of the day. And like you said, everything has a purpose and has a lifespan.
Anthropomorphism. And so I'm seeing it more and more. People basically are having pets. They put their dogs in baby carriages and they dress
fans.
Them.
They put fans on them. Well, they stroller.
No, they dress them like children. They actually have clothes on. You guys have seen it. There was that one crazy TV evangelist's wife. She was doing that all the time with her stroller with the dogs in it. And she had the pink hair. Don't let these people represent Christianity.
Please don't.
Okay,
man, guys, thank you again for getting the truth out there every day. Be sure to get these shows out there, the snippets, the clips. Make sure you're also too going on these different platforms. You have the podcast, Gab, Spotify, Rumble, and also too, you can see on every episode we got the updates. We got a full synopsis on everything. I mean, in detail. So you want to know what's on the show? It's on the show. And also too, into the different supplement kits that we have, including like the GHI Cleanse, Ultimate Multiple Capsules, which are on sale. Be sure to check those out. Forward it. Get the information out there. And if you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, Team Health Masters. Give us a call or email us. We're here to help you guys. And it's been an interesting Monday show today.
I've got an I told you so.
On what now?
The Tesla truck is dead. The hype is dead. The Tesla truck
they're cratering.
Once billed as the future of electric vehicles, it's now looking like a commercial bust. In the second quarter of 2025, Tesla sold 4,000 Cybertrucks, down 50%. Basically,
they're depreciating so quickly. What's happening is now with it, people were buying them over sticker and then trying to flip them immediately and make money on them. Now you buy them in sticker, you automatically lose like 20,000-30,000 the next week.
Oh, more than that. When the Cybertruck was first revealed in 2019, Elon Musk called it a better truck than the F-150. Well, maybe the F-150 Lightning. Faster than the Porsche 911. Okay, whatever. It's signed sci-fi stainless steel exoskeleton, futuristic angles made it an instant viral sensation as being the most hideous vehicle ever built, in my opinion.
Have a good evening, my friends. We'll talk to you again in the show tomorrow.
Hey, I love you guys. Keep praying for us. I appreciate you so much.